Amen. How good it is to sing together. And very thankful for our worship team, our dear brother Jeremy and Nina. They have to go. They're struggling with sickness, but we're really glad. Amen. Pray that they will get rest, get better. Let's continue in worship. We are finishing the book of Joshua today. We saw them go in and take the land. They arrived into the promised land as immigrants. Now they are a settled people with a shared identity, a shared hope, shared past, shared future. They went in carrying the ark before them. And now the ark, they have settled it in Shiloh. That says, this is where my name will rest. And so they are in the land, settled, and Joshua is going to have a last word with them. Joshua is going to tell them, you need to put away any idolatry, put away your idols, worship the Lord only. You got to make a decision. You got to choose. So let's read this together. Joshua chapter, it's actually chapter 24, a typo there. Let's stand and read this together. Joshua is going to quote the Lord. He's going to say what the Lord says, and then Joshua is going to give his admonition to the people to make a decision, make a choice. So let's read this. Joshua chapter, section 24 and verse 2. Joshua said to the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. And then God says a bunch of things about what he's done. We'll pick it up in verse 11. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you. And also the Amorites, the Perizzites, Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Okay, now Joshua, he finished quoting the Lord. Now Joshua is going to speak to the people. Verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that we can come together and worship. And Lord, as we lift up your word, we pray you would speak to us deep in our hearts, Lord. We want to have ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, that we could follow you, that we could serve you, that we could worship you this week and next month, Lord, and continue on the rugged way until you return or take us home. Lord, we want to be found faithful. Revive us, your spirit, revive us with courage and endurance according to your word. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Joshua says, choose this day, make a decision. We have lots of choices in life, lots of good things to choose from, and choose different careers. I started off in aerospace engineering. I didn't like it so much. I switched to business. I failed accounting. I switched to history. I started writing in the school newspaper, and I finally got a degree in journalism. Lots of good choices you can make. Good choices for hobbies. Good choices for family. Good choices for location. Big choices you can make. I graduated and had all these choices before me. And almost, it looked like on a whim, I chose to go to China. Huge, huge difference that made in my life. what makes room for all these good choices, all these this diversity, all these good things we can do? What makes room for them? There's a foundation in our society, a foundation in our government that we stand on that makes good choices possible. It's a bunch of laws, a bunch of rules. They provide the freedom. They provide opportunity. I mean, just traffic laws that you have to obey, they provide opportunity to go around town. If we didn't have traffic laws, it would take 3 days to go from one side of Houston to the next instead of 3 hours. Right? Following those laws provides us freedom. So we don't cheat. We don't cheat against the rules of commerce. They provide lots of opportunity for growth and business and creativity. We have lots of good choices, but some things we don't do. We don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't steal. It's just beyond question. We get the freedom by following. God has placed before these people so much opportunity, so much freedom, so much fruitfulness. Right, an abundant land flowing with milk and honey. And he conquered the peoples before them, and he's going to bless them, right? But tells them, you still have to choose. Because if you're going to enjoy this blessing, then you need to obey me, and you need to serve me, and you need to follow me, right? You have to make this decision. You're going to follow somebody. You're going to serve somebody. We're going to sing songs to somebody, right? We need food, clothing, shelter, and we need our earbuds. We're going to sing. We're going to follow. We're going. Who are you following? Who are you serving? Are you serving yourself? Serving a cult leader, whether it's a politician or a celebrity or religious leader, who are we following? Who are we serving? Following the crowd. Joshua told them, put away your idols. They constantly struggle with idolatry in Egypt. In the wilderness, they still carried idols with them. Now they're coming to a land, there's lots of idols around them. That says, if you're going to enjoy my blessings that I've provided, put these away and you follow me. You follow my rules. You obey my words. There's no middle ground. It's one way or the other. Either, you know, it's God always compared it in the Bible to a marriage, right? He's our groom. We are his bride. It was that way from Genesis all the way to Revelation, where it says the wedding of the Lamb has come. And it's 100% or none at all, right, Jeremiah? Someday you're going to get on your knee and propose marriage to a girl, right? Hopefully. And she's going to have to make a decision. And it's going to be 100%. It can't be, oh, yeah, I'll marry you, but you know, once a year, I want to go have lunch date with this other guy. You know, give me that ring back. No way. It has to be 100%. God says, you choose. It's either me or it's them. She says, well, I'm not interested in this love business, Jeremiah, but you can prove to me we'll always have lots of money and be able to travel and meet interesting. Give me that ring back. No, no. God wants us to follow him. Out of love, out of devotion, out of service. Deuteronomy, God made it very clear. If you go into the land and your dear friend who is as your own soul, your soulmate, comes to you and whispers, let's go worship idols. God says, you kill him. You be the first one. You bring him before the leaders and you're the first one to throw a stone. You kill that guy. It's either me or them. You make a decision. Choose this day. God told the people, choose this day. The people answered, verse 16, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. You've got all these idols. You can't do it. He's not going to forgive you if you keep worshiping these idols. They said, no, we're going to stop. We're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua got a big stone and wrote on it their commitment. He said, this stone is going to be a witness against you. The people said, yes. That we are going to serve the Lord. God said, if you're going to serve him, if you're going to follow the Lord, you have to obey his rules. You're going to have to continue to fight. Hear, O Israel, you are, this is before he sent them over, to cross over the Jordan, to go and to dispossess the nations greater and mightier than you. Cities great and fortified up to heaven. These are strong cities, and you're going to take them down. People great and tall. You're going to serve me, and you're going to fight. That's your decision. That's what you're called to do. And that is still what is the decision before us. People said, yes, we're going to serve God. He says, you can't. You've got all these idols. Put away your idols and serve the Lord. So, simply want to ask, what does it look like for us? God told them through Joshua, you make a decision. Who are you going to follow? And it's a decision that guides every aspect of our life. We must choose. Either serve man-made gods and hate the Lord. There's no middle ground. You're going to end up saying that this book is evil. We see it happening more and more today in our country, which was largely built on Christian principles, saying this book has hate in it. It's evil. You're either going to serve man-made gods and hate the Lord. What kind of man-made gods? We'll get to the second part, but this first part, what does it look like to serve man-made gods? Well, there's idols of self. We don't have too many literal idols that we carve out today in other religions, other countries, but we still exalt and serve something other than the Lord. Idols of self. In today's America, the self has become like a personal project, right? It's all about me, all about my desires, my beliefs, my anything. How do I define myself? I am the author of myself. This just leads to more and more and more depression. The more I indulge myself, the more depressed we will get, the less we will have any true identity. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, Satan said to Adam and Eve. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I want to make myself like God. I will decide what is right and wrong. I will decide what is good and evil. The Bible says this is foolish. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. I come to the realization I cannot trust myself. Right? I make foolish decisions. If I trust in myself as to what is right and wrong, what is good, I will choose that which is selfish, which indulges me. I'll choose the drugs. I'll choose the pornography. I'll choose what makes me happy. No, I can't trust myself. I need to trust someone else. I need to look to someone else to guide me. So but that's the idol of self. Today's America, or most of my prayers about me. Am I obsessed with outward beauty and vanity? I mean, I do go to the gym and work out, but we have to guard ourselves from just being obsessed with beauty. Do y'all know where the Bible talks about the fall of Satan? Ezekiel 28. God talks about Satan, compares a city to Satan, said, you were the anointed cherub, the guardian cherub in Eden. I placed you there. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. But then you became exalted because of your beauty. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. But Satan was the guardian cherub and you became proud. God said, I drew out of the midst of you violence and you sinned and you fell and I cast you to the ground. Told Adam and Eve, you can be like God. Satan said, I will be like God. The king of Assyria said, I will make myself like the Most High. The people at Babel said, we will build our way up to heaven and make a great name for ourselves. I'm going to be awesome. It's all about me. That's the idol of self. It leads to depression. It leads to all kinds of agony. That's the idol of self. Very big in our country today. Go by the Bible, it is no coincidence. It goes hand in hand with increasing mental illness. Idols of government, idols of personality cult, mob rule. The state becomes our God. And when that happens, there's always a personality at the center of it, whether it's Hitler or Castro or Lenin or Pol Pot. There's always going to be a person at top. And we say, this state has all the authority, all the power. They make the decisions. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. They're going to worship the beast. They're going to worship this leader of this one world government. And this personality, the head of this state, becomes God. Now, I was ordained Southern Baptist, right, when I was ordained as a pastor at Southern Baptist Church. Why is it called Southern Baptist as opposed to Northern Baptist? They said, hey, slavery is okay. Slavery is a good thing. They've since repented of that, right? They repented of that evil, and they continue to say, you know, we were wrong, we exalt the Lamb, all men are equal in God's sight, there's no Jew nor Greek. But back at that time, they looked at what the government was doing, looked at all the money being made, and they said, this is good. You know, there's one man over in Europe named William Wilberforce, who stood up in the church, that what the state is doing, what the government is doing, this is evil. The people said, you can't do that. The church is supposed to stay quiet. The church preaches the gospel. You don't speak against the government. He said, no. Let me quote from a book by Eric Metaxas. We must remember that William Wilberforce in his day was told to keep his faith private and was told that his religious view that slavery was wrong had no business poking out in the wide world. It was thought an absolute scandal that a man would bring his religion into the public sphere and dare to impose his views through the laws of the land. Our laws are sacred. You leave the state alone. You keep your religion to yourself. He said, no, this is evil. I'm standing up and declaring it. Wilberforce knew that his religious views about slavery were only religious to those who didn't like them, many of whom were making monstrous profits from the evil of the transatlantic slave trade. So we thank God he did not let those naysayers dissuade him one bit and keep it his campaign to end slavery, having no doubt that it was God's will for him to do so. It was a prophetic voice. God did not create us to be passive and disengaged and undiscerning. We might have to stand up and say, what our government is doing is evil. This is wrong. They say, no, keep that to your church. No, I'm speaking the truth as revealed by God. I am not passing judgment myself. God made it very clear to them, you not doing this because of your righteousness. When I send you to the land, when I send you to fight, it's not because you're more righteous than they are, because you're representing me. And we can stand up and say, what our government, what our state is doing is evil. And I'm not the one passing judgment. I'm just representing truth as revealed by the Creator. Say, who are you to say this? Well, I am redeemed. I'm a follower of Jesus. Who are you to say it's not evil? There's a time we stand up against the idol of government. Say, no. Government is not the author of good and evil, of right and wrong. Idols of religion and charity. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, this is Jesus talking. Jesus says, on that day, on the day of judgment, when I come back, when the books of judgment are opened, and God judges people, you go to heaven or to hell. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. These were very religious people. They certainly thought they were Christians. They had done many good religious things. They'd done a lot of charity. But it was all idolizing themselves, their own religion. Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Aren't we faithful? Aren't we honorable? Aren't we good? There's nothing about your grace, your mercy. So they were exalting religion. They were exalting their charity. God tells the people, you think, I mean, what you're saying, you need to be very careful. God's not going to forgive you if you keep worshiping these idols. You keep paying lip service to God. In your hearts, you're following these idols. So, we have to choose. Are we going to serve man-made gods and hate the Lord? Are we going to serve the idols of self, idols of government, idols of religion, charity, of course, idols of pleasure, whatever makes me feel good? Or, here's the other decision, serve the Lord and destroy the idols. Go and tear them down. Go burn them. Go grind them into pieces. Remember when Moses went up the mountain and got the Ten Commandments, and he came down and the people were having an orgy and they'd made golden calves they were worshiping. They thought, Moses, who is this guy? He's gone. He's been gone 40 days. Where did he go? Make us other gods. And they made these golden calves. What did Moses do with him? He took him and ground him to dust, threw him in the water, and made the people drink him. He said, you destroy them. He hates them. He's a jealous God. One of his names is jealous. Again, it would be like, you know, if one spouse says to another, I just want to go on one date, just one date with this other person. Like, can I have that guy's name? I want to go talk to this guy. Maybe I'll bring my baseball bat. Right? There's just a jealousy there. Not one day in 10 years. God says, you destroy the idols and serve the Lord. Now, is God a megalomaniac that he wants to be served? He wants to he gets all vengeful if you reject him? No. Giving, he's loving, he's gentle, he's meek, he's created good things, created blessings for these people. That's the way it is. There's no one else in the universe that way, but it's either with him or against him. Either love him or hate him. There's no middle ground. So we serve the Lord, for example, through our family. I am serving the Lord. I'm not serving myself, although I'm very blessed by having a family. I'm not, you know, I'm serving God, right? I'm doing it for his sake, ultimately. Look, marriage is tough, right? Married couples in there who want to agree that marriage is tough? It's tough. Paul says, he gets married, you're going to have trouble. And the Hebrew, the Greek word he uses there is simply the word trouble. It's trouble, right? You're going to have trouble. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Right? She's ultimately, when the wife submits to her husband, not because I'm awesome, not because I'm so amazing, so incredibly trustworthy. No, she's submitting for God's honor, for his sake, right? I've told my boys many times, you're respecting me, not because I deserve it. I want to deserve it. I want to be respectable. But ultimately, you do it for God's sake. There's going to be times I don't deserve it. You do it for his sake. Wives, submit to your own husbands. I'm getting ahead of myself. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. And ultimately, we're doing it for his sake, right? And it works, and we're blessed. The more we deny ourselves, the more we come to know who we really are, we find our fulfillment and our true identity. I'm a child of God. I'm serving the King. That's who we are. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So we are serving the Lord. God, Joshua said, choose you this day. You're going to serve these idols. You're going to serve the Lord. When you serve the Lord, you serve him through your family. You serve God through your job. But ultimately, when I am a good worker, when I am faithful, when I'm doing what my boss says, it's not all about me and it's not all about him. Students, you know, you think of your studies like a job. When you submit to your teacher, even when you don't like your teacher, ultimately you're doing it because I'm serving the Lord. I want his blessing. I want to honor him. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service, the goodwill as to the Lord and not to man. These are, you know, not just employees, they're bondservants. He says, you do your work. You do it for the Lord. He sees you. He's watching you. You honor him. You will be blessed, and there will be a reward. I'm not following the idols. I'm following God. I'm doing it in my job. I'm doing it in my family. I want to obey the Lord. How are we doing? Of course, we serve the Lord through our church. Right? As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We come and we serve together because we want God to be glorified. We don't want people to say, oh, what a great speaker. We don't want them to say, oh, what a wonderful church. We want them to come and say, what an amazing God. You read the book of Jonah, right? Jonah's a great testimony. Have you all read the book of Jonah, Jonah and the whale? But Jonah was so full of hatred for the Ninevites. God said, you go and you preach repentance to the Ninevites. That I hate the Ninevites. I hate them with such a passion. I would rather die. Just throw me overboard. I'd rather die than to see God's word come to the Ninevites. Threw him overboard. Fish comes and swallows him. He repents. He goes back. And he sits up on a hill. And again, he's full of hatred. He's just waiting for God to destroy the city. That's a testimony of God's grace, right? That you read his testimony and you say, what an awesome God. You don't say, what an awesome prophet. You don't say, Jonah, you're such an obedient, faithful guy. They know, what an awesome God. That's what people want to hear from us. Your God is amazing. Your God is merciful. You've got some issues. You have some problems, but your God is amazing. We serve God through family, through our church, through our job. We're going to destroy the idols. Serve God through our community. Back talking about, we have to, let's see, let me give you a couple of verses here. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, or in its welfare, you will find welfare. When God exiled the people into Babylon, guys like Daniel and Ezekiel, Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, you seek the welfare of that city, but you still tear down the idols. You still, remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you can throw us into the fiery furnace. We're not going to worship your idols. We're just not going to do it. God can save us. Whether he saves us or not, we're not going to worship the idols. They're wrong. They're full of lies. We're going to destroy them. Talked about William Wilberforce. Y'all know, have y'all heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Y'all know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer was? He was a German pastor in Germany in the 20s and 30s. And he started looking around saying, you know, what's happening here? This is evil. This guy we're following, this cult leader named Adolf Hitler, the things he's doing are evil. Will not stand for this. And many, many, many other pastors and churches said, be quiet, be quiet. Don't challenge the idols of our day. Don't challenge the government. Don't challenge the leaders. Just be quiet. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep doing good things as a nice religious person. Go cast out some demons. Go prophesy. Don't try to tear down an idol. He said, no. This is evil. What is going on? This is wrong. He ultimately paid with his life. The Nazis hanged him. He might have gone too far. It's debatable. He tried to assassinate. He got an assassination plot with Hitler. Tried to take him out completely. Paid with his life. But at least he stood up. How about us? Are we going to be silent? Are we going to be passive? Yes, I am serving God. It says, Paul tells Timothy, urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Yes, I'm going to pay my taxes for God's honor. I'm going to obey my leaders for God's glory, but I'm not going to tolerate this idolatry. I'm going to say this is evil. What we're doing is wrong. Christians are not called to be just nice little passive religious people. We stand up and we tear down the stronghold. We tear down the idols. It's one way or the other. A lot of today's, we call them culture wars, right? Culture war in America. It's not a culture war. They are dead set against this book. And we're not passing judgment. I'm not saying I know more about righteousness than you. I am wiser. I am holier than you. No, we're standing up and saying, what you're doing according to the Bible, this is evil. Talking about issues of sanctity of life, sanctity of marriage, sexuality. I'm not ashamed of what this book says, and we will stand up and say, this idolatry, this group or this person is authoring good and evil, declaring creation, declaring what a marriage is, what a family is, what a human being is. You've gone way, way, way beyond your authority. You don't do that. But again, we're not doing that from a moral high ground. Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, do not say, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me into this, and to possess this land, or as it was because of the wickedness of these nations but the Lord is driving them out before you. Not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going in to possess their land, because of the wickedness of these nations. Remember, they practice child sacrifice, they practice bestiality, practice all kinds of heinous idolatry and evil and oppression and slavery. God says, I am bringing judgment, not you. So, those were the choices God put before the people. You make a decision. We continue to make these decisions. Every day we come to him in prayer. We say, God is the one who's guiding my heart, guiding me in wisdom. There's lots of choices, good choices to make in our freedom, but choosing between good and evil, between God and the idols, there's only one choice to make. So we spend time meditating on this word. We say, this word is going to be my guide. This word is going to be my guide for hope, for peace, for my sense of self, my sense of identity, not my career, not my accomplishments, not anything else, but this word. Kevin shared a good story with me from his childhood. Kevin Goh. So I was walking to school on Buendia Avenue at South Superhighway. This is in the Philippines where Kevin grew up. I was about to cross the street when someone pulled me by my shirt collar. I got really mad at the person. Just as they pulled me, a PNR train suddenly went by. I was nearly hit by. People turned around and said, this guy saved your life. What happened to Kevin's anger, right? That moment he was so angry, I'm going to clobber this guy. What happened to his anger? Instantly, got replaced by gratitude, right? His emotions of his heart instantly changed from anger and fear to thankfulness and peace. But the only thing that really changed was his understanding of the truth, his understanding of what happened. That's how we want God's word to guide us, right? That this word, according to this word, it changes my heart, changes my emotions, that I feel peace, that I feel hope, that I can endure, I can continue another day of enduring and fighting and following Jesus. We meditate on this word. We pray according to this word. I've got a book. Just 2 weeks ago in our office, there's this big box of books. And I opened it up, and it's full of these little books called Praying the Bible. I said, where do these come from? I asked Minister Naaman, I said, where do these books come from? He said, I don't know. I looked at the box. I said, they were mailed to you. He said, I don't know. I must have just signed up for some freebie or something. It's a really good book. It's called Praying the Bible. How many of my prayers are just about me, right? Things I'm struggling with, the things I'm going through. This is a guide on how to read God's word and then pray according to what God's word says. So, I don't know, there's maybe at least 50 of them in here. So come get one if you're interested. And we will press on. Our choice, according to the Bible, I can deny myself, submit to God. I can exalt myself, carve out my own gods. Be with Jesus, love God, against Jesus, hate God. I can gather or I can scatter. I can love the truth, seek the truth, or hate the truth, and hide from the truth. Those are my choices. I can work creatively, steal, and destroy. I can be alert and go and fight a good fight of faith. Okay, one last question. Last question for you. What is a woke Christian? Okay. Matthew's about to. What's a woke Christian? The Bible tells us what a woke Christian is. This just came up in Sunday school. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Paul's speaking to the Corinthian church. He says, one, you need to identify with your church. Those are the people you're close to. And then you can go out. There's these people who don't know God. You go out and you share the gospel with them and you befriend them. Jesus was a friend of sinners and traitors, tax collectors, prostitutes. Why is he eating? He had his identity, right, as from his heavenly Father, the light of the world. But then he'd go out and serve. Same for us. I serve the Lord. Come together. This is my family, my church. I don't confuse myself by following these other idols, by gathering together, worshiping with other people, these other idols. I don't do that. Waking up from that foolishness, from that drunken stupor, I worship the Lord. And then I can go out. There's people who don't know him, don't know of his grace and mercy, and I share with them. And I'm going to pray and meditate on his word. He will be my guide. Let's pray now. Father in heaven, thank you that you call us not just to trust you, not just to repent of our sins and give you glory and receive your grace, believe in the promise of heaven. Lord, you call us to fight the good fight. Just as you told your people to go and take out cities that were fortified up to heaven, that were mighty and strong, to go out and fight against them, Lord. Tear down the idols. Tear down the evil things happening in that land, Lord. We want to worship you. We want to follow you. We thank you that you call us to go and fight the good fight, to tear down the idols. We pray that we would have wisdom or discernment how to do that. How to worship you, proclaim your grace and mercy, and at the same time, stand up and the world calls them culture wars, but Lord, they're more and more opposed to you. How do we stand up and proclaim your holiness, your righteousness, the evil things happening in our world? How to proclaim your grace in the midst of it? Lord, we need greatness and great discernment. We would get that from your word. May we be a people guided by your word, proclaiming your word, meditating on your word. It would be a daily bread. Strengthen us, Lord, to fight the good fight. We pray in Jesus' name, in his glory. Amen.